It's showtime. All right, everyone. Chill.
Allow me to break the ice.
I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
To Knocked Up, the first edition of Hard Knocks Radio Show, and we're going to step into the minds of two guys, Controller Abuser.
What's going on, guys?
And Raitai, who actually does have a voice this time.
What's up, guys?
With that, let's step into our first topic, which will be the top five and worst five users or teams of the year. Rye, who are you looking at your top five right now?
Well, I'll start with five. Right now I have the Steelers. I have Knowles, the Super Bowl champs, mainly because for him, he's 5-2, but he's only played two games at home, and he's played five on the road, and he's lost. His one big loss was to Big Coug, who's obviously my number one, which I'll get to here in a second, but definitely a tough schedule so far, and I think obviously he gets stronger as the season goes on, typically. Number four, the Saints, the second best scoring offense in the league, 246 points, and he's got Darren Sproles averaging 7.3 yards per carry. So he's definitely got it going right there, neurotic truth. Number three, the Rams with Law Dog. I got crushed by him earlier, 36-10. Tons of speed. He's got a great defense. I think the third ranked defense in the league. Sam Bradford is 127.9 quarterback rating. He's got a 73% completion percentage, which is crazy good. Number two, one of my surprise teams this year, the Chargers and MG. 242 points scored, the best offense in the league right now, 2,712 yards. He's got the top rushing attack with Ryan Matthews. And definitely looking to continue this, I think, with his schedule the remainder of the year. And then finally, number one, the Niners, Big Coug. He's only given up 74 points, which is by far the best in the league. And he's doing it really with a lot of players. Like, for example, Willis only has one tackle. Doesn't have any tackles for loss. So he's doing it with Justin Smith and Ahmad Brooks and Bowman and, you know, on and on and on. It's just a great defense, and anyone that plays him knows it's very difficult to really do anything. So I got Big Coug as my top team right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the surprise in that list would be the Chargers, like you said. I mean, coming into this season, I think he finished 6-10 last year. I had no idea MG was going to be a top five team this year. I didn't even see any moves that he really made to even become a top five team.
No, and he lost his two corners. He lost Kaysan, and he lost Jammer. I didn't think he would, you know, definitely didn't think this was going to happen, but he's really doing well on offense, which is really leading him to the record he has right now.
Well, CA, what are you looking at? Do you like Rye's list? I mean, what are you looking at on your top five?
Just one thing, when I'm looking at my top five, there's only one new guy to HK this release. There's two. My top five, the fifth team right now, fifth hottest team in HK so far, I have the Denver Broncos, 5-1 record. They're on a 3-game win streak. They have 5 wins, only one loss, was at the hands of the defending world champion Steelers. And they actually only lost that game by 3.
That was opening week, right?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, that was a big game opening week.
Yeah, so I mean, opening week, 3-point loss to the defending champs. I mean, that's and the way the standings have, the way the standings look on the game, have actually, I think the Chargers, no, I don't know how it looks, but I know the Broncos aren't very up top right there, but my fourth team, is actually the Chargers, a 6-1 record. They're on a one game win streak, a tough team with a great record so far, good veteran coach. He's done it before. Quality win over the Jets, 7-point loss to the Packers, but 2 wins against the Chiefs. So in my eyes, his record is a little skewed. Another team that can light it up, but out of the four teams of the top five so far that I have, he's given up the most points. So that's why I kind of have him down. at number three, I have another noob, but not to the site, OM Law Dog, St. Louis Rams, 5-1 record. He's actually on a 2-game win streak. Only one loss coming, their only loss coming at the hands of the undefeated 49ers. They've scored 204 points so far, and they've only allowed 95, which I think is the second lowest in all of HK. Number two, I got the New Orleans Saints, led by Neurotic Truth. 6-1 record, 3-game win streak. Second highest scoring offense in HK with 246 points. That's 35 points per game. Very good defensively for having such a high-powered offense. Second behind the 49ers with 91 points allowed, so I am mistaken, through 7 games. And the last loss that they had was at the hands of division opponent Atlanta, which they only lost by 4 points, 28-24. And then my number one team is San Francisco 49ers, 6-0 record. They're on a 6-game win streak. The boys out of the Bay, just killing it right now. They're only allowing 12.3 points per game. Coug is, I think, a real-life coach. He's got a great defense and a good offense to go with it. And I believe he won 2 HK Bowls last year.
Yeah, he won 2, and I think what you keyed on, and looking at mine, I think we're in agreement of who our number one is. What you keyed on, though, is that his real-life coach, like what he does in real life, is really translated through the game. Because if you've ever – I mean, you guys have played Coug, and there's times where he just calls things and you just – I mean, I just look at it and go, damn, I never would have thought of that.
Yeah, he's one of those guys you play, and then at the end, he's always, you feel like he's one step ahead of you the entire game. That's what I felt like when I played him.
Like, I go into a game thinking, okay, I got this game plan set up. I'm going to run this play, and then I'm going to run a play to counter that to, you know, put you off. And that's what he does all game, you know, so, and especially on defense. And his offense, with Alex Smith and Frank Gore, pounding the rock, managing the game. And, I mean, you can't lose when you're only giving up 12.3 points per game. So,
you know, and I think that division is disgusting. And once Diddy gets back, that division's going to be really bad. Because you got the Niners, and then you got the Rams. And I think the Rams are about – they're probably – next year away, you know, after this offseason, they'll be really in contention next year, even for the top spot in HK.
Yeah, I agree. Right now they're behind. I mean, the first game when he played the Niners, I think he got beat 33-10.
Yeah, that's the only team he's behind right now, in my opinion.
Exactly.
In the NFC.
Exactly.
And the reason why he's there, I mean, well, he knows, obviously, he's a good player, but his draft, I mean, he killed it.
Oh, he studies nonstop.
I think he had between 3 and maybe 5 80 overall players that were draft picks. So I mean, yeah, he really knows what he's doing, and that's, like you said, that's a tough division. I mean, Diddy, we all know Diddy. I mean, he's a real life coach, knows the game. He's got a pretty good offense over there. And then you got the Niners, Big Coug. He's a real life coach, and then, you know, like you said, the Rams. And we have a newcomer with the Seahawks, Majesty 95, who runs his own team, his own league. So, I mean, I'm sure he's gonna have some things to change it up over there as well. So, yeah, like you said before, what was it called? The Division of Death.
Yeah,
So, yeah, pretty glad I'm over in the north right now. So.
Yeah, sometimes I question why I'm even in the NFC anymore. Well, you know, we talked about the top five and we kissed some butt, you know, here on the top five. Let's talk about the worst five. And listen, guys, this is – don't take this personal. This is not a personal attack. This Please is – I mean, seriously, this is just statistically based, looking at the records, you know, maybe a little personal opinion when guys have played you, but – really, yeah. don't. This is not for you to get your feelings hurt. I don't want to PM about how your butt hurt tomorrow.
We're not attacking character. We're talking about the performance.
Exactly. You know, and we may touch on maybe why some things are certain ways. So let's you know, we started with Ryan last time. CA, let's go with your worst five. Who would you have at number five?
My fifth worst team right now is the Houston Texans. They've got a 1-7 record, and they're on a 3-game skid. Some are actually questioning if he's trying to tank. The pieces are there in place to make a good run, but the team is not executing to their full abilities right now. We're talking about a team that has Arian Foster, Andre Johnson. The defense is insane in real life. He has the pieces there, but for some reason, things aren't clicking right now, and that's why he's in my fifth spot right now.
And see, you talk about Houston, and one thing I just automatically comes to my brain is, why did he get rid of Matt Schaub?
Yeah, I don't know. He brought him back. He did finally, I think he realized he had to have
a quarterback. But he went through a half a season last year and a half a season this year without Matt Schaub, and I think it reflected on his record. He started out great last year. He just had a few games that were bad.
It did.
Well, I think the reason why he got rid of Schaub was because of his contract, and he brought in a young guy in Ryan Mallett, who's actually a pretty good player, as we've seen last year when Cade picked him up. So I think that's why he got rid of Mallett. But yeah, he brought him back, and things didn't work out again. And I think he's actually turning back to Mallett now. So
and see, now you got Arian Foster, who's got tons of questions. You know, is he healthy all the time? Who knows? But he's on
trying to trade him again.
Yeah, he's on the trade block. So I think there's a lot of questions with the general manager's position in, you know, Houston. But anyway, I didn't mean to get you off track there. Let's jump to number four, CA. What you got?
The Tennessee Titans, the Bouncer 24, 1-6 record, and they are on a 4-game losing streak. I don't know how long Bouncer's been gone. Where's the owner? He's got one of the most dynamic running backs in the NFL. This team really should not be doing this bad right now. Which leads me to go to my number three, the Buffalo Bills. Like the Houston Texans, they're 1-7 on a 3-game skid. They've allowed the third most points in HK on defense. This team was left with a lot of problems that aren't going to get fixed anytime soon. And with a new owner, I'm anxious to see what his moves are going to be to correct some of these problems that they have. Number two, I have the Seattle Seahawks, 1-6. They're on a 1-game losing streak. I got to cut them some slack since they've been on CPU for almost the whole season so far. Probably the second worst defense behind the Lions right now. I mean, they've got some good defensive players. It's kind of a shame to see them give up that many points.
So if they got the second worst defense, then who's got the first? You said the Lions, so where does it put the Lions?
The Lions are my worst team right now. 1-6. They're on a 2-game losing streak. It's just no excuses for a guy that's been around for a while with, I mean, let's face it, probably one of the best in-game talented offenses that there is. He's given up the most points in HK, 264 points, and that's almost 40 points per game. You can't win when you're giving up 40 points per game. So that's why I have the Motor City Kitties as the worst team in HK right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, 40 points a game, somebody really needs to be fired over that. I mean, I can't imagine it. If I had the firing option on, I don't know where Red Rings would be.
I mean, you don't even have to get off the bus.
No, not at all. Even though I sense a little divisional hate right there, I agree with you. I think the Lions are probably the worst team.
Let's look at exactly why, in my opinion, these teams win and they lose. And a lot of these teams that lose, if you look at the records of the worst five rushing teams in the league, they're 8-27. The teams with the best running attacks in the league, the top five teams, are 28-7. So it tells you right there, you got to run the ball. And if you don't, you look at Wings, he's got 273 yards rushing on the season. You're not going to win. You got to be able to control the ball. And, teams that don't do it don't win. Just go look at the statistics. The teams that run win, period.
Yeah, I mean, and I even heard a rumor from through the Titans organization about maybe a player or two that's going to be on the trade block in the offseason. And it's still like, I'm just blown away by what he's telling me. So,
are you saying who I'm thinking you're saying?
Well, I'll let you use your imagination and go from there.
The thing is, though, when you do those type of trades with those type of players, in real life, it doesn't make sense, but in the game, it does. Because
yeah, he's got to shake something up.
Because, like last year, I traded AP to you. It's the same thing this year. Everybody keys on that one person. So, really, it hurts you. Where it shouldn't, because that player should excel. But, I mean, look at, like, last game, I only had 70 yards rushing, where, it's an odd thing. So I can see him wanting to shake something up like that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Rye, obviously I think you have the Lions number one, at least I think.
Yeah, 264 points given up. 270 yards rushing, and it's just, I got to have them number one right now in terms of the worst teams. Unfortunately, sorry, Wings, but the next number two for me in terms of worst, I've got the Bills, but of course it's a new user, LL Cool Gray, who I think obviously would get better. So that's a little deceiving probably right now. Three, Pitt. Just I think the big problem this year is just not scoring. I just played him in a game recently, and I scored 10 points and won. So he's not scoring this year. He's only got 114 points so far in the season. And I think a lot of it has to do with his quarterback situation, and as we talked about earlier. So he's got to figure that one out. Then I've got the Cards, and that's just because Diddy's been gone. But if you look at their numbers, they're pretty bad right now. And then my fifth worst team is Sporty. And again, it's with the Chiefs. It's just the 224 points given up. He does well when he gives the ball to Charles, but when he doesn't, he throws a lot of picks and he struggles. So I've got the Chiefs number five right now on my worst team list.
Yeah, I think Sporty had a couple games where his all-world rookie threw like seven interceptions or something. Yeah. I'm like, Sporty, run the ball, man. Come on. feed Charles, man.
Yeah, sometimes he'll go the other extreme, though, where he'll hand the ball off like nine straight times. You got to mix it up a little bit, too, in there.
Balance is the name of the game, and like you said, balance with a good rushing attack is really where you get all your victories.
Yep, just go look at the stats.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk some more HK.
You ever had bacon puffs?
What?
Have you ever had bacon puffs?
No, what the hell is that?
They're like dried up pork rinds.
Ugh, no thank you.
So good.
Bacon puffs, brought to you by CA's Viciously Beer-Starved Stomach. We don't know what the hell they are, but we'll take his word for it.
So good.
Hey guys, we're back, and now we want to jump into something a little different. We want to talk about surprise teams and maybe even surprise players so far in the season. Obviously, we're in our second year of this release, and I think some guys are starting to come to the top, and I think there's a lot of surprises at players, even rookies I'm surprised with. What do you think, CA? As far as some teams, what are some teams that are surprising you?
Well, I got some teams that are surprising me in a good way and surprising me in a bad way. I'll start with the ones that are kind of badly surprising. Start off with the Giants, and I know I'm going to catch some flack for this one.
Oh, you're going to catch more than flack.
one and five. I mean, come on, Simi, talking to you right now. I know you're a bit of a joystick, Jesus. I know you're a baller, but we're just not seeing it right now. And see you getting rid of players. So I don't know what's going on.
Thanks, bud.
You better turn it around. And then I got the Cardinals at 1-6. I had a lot. I thought the Cardinals were going to do really good this year. And Diddy's been gone. Where are you?
No kidding. I missed that guy. No homo, though.
Right.
I mean, I missed that guy around. Like
that's our Gator boy.
And, that's our and, sheriff, man.
Man, my heart is hurting. So. Shout out to Diddy. You need to get back. And then I have the Raiders at 2-5. Drunken was consistently good last year in HK. And he got rid of McFadden, which I think is hurting him. And then I got the Bucks, 3-4. Another good owner that I don't know what he's doing. I thank him for losing to me, but the 3-4 record is kind of surprising for me.
That's your bad app. I mean, that's your bad surprises. What are some of the good surprises?
My good surprises, the Chiefs, 2-5, more wins than last year. I'm looking for Sporty to really bring things up over at Arrowhead Stadium.
So you're looking for Sporty to move from the first pick to the second pick next year?
I mean, no, I got him getting out of there. Hopefully, I'm gonna have to talk to him on AIM, give him some tips. Hopefully, he'll get things going over there and over there in the West. But I got the Jags 5-2. Actually, they moved to 6-2 today with a big win with a new rookie quarterback.
Yeah, and that guy's ridiculous. I mean, we'll talk about this later, but that guy. Jordan Mappa, I guess. I mean,
I was four picks from getting him. I'm still pissed at hell.
Was that the? That wasn't the guy you were trying to trade
that's
up with.
The guy I was trying to trade up to get, and I'm like, oh, no one's gonna take him. Then Hal took him because it was the second quarterback. I looked at the list, and I'm like, okay,
well, he was gone. No, so he should have given him.
If you would have got him, would you have benched Whedon?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You should. His numbers. He's a good player. I mean, he was. I looked at the teams in front of me, and none of them – he had just taken a quarterback earlier. I mean, it was a great pick. He basically said, I'm going to take two quarterbacks. The best one wins. I'll know I'll have the QB. So.
Yeah.
Didn't he take two running backs and two quarterbacks?
Yeah, he had a very confusing draft. Two running backs with his first two picks and two quarterbacks after that. And I was just scratching my head during the draft. I remember that.
Yeah. I mean, it was confusing, but he's 6-2.
It was,
you know, so.
It was ballsy, that's for sure.
It was.
He has no balls.
I don't know how you know that, and I don't want to know how you know that, but whatever.
Okay. One of my other teams is the Rams, 5-1. I mean, I've heard everything about Law Dog, the game genie.
He's a beast.
Reb's best friend.
College roommate.
Who knows what they did together? I don't want to know, like you said. But 5-1, he knows how to recruit, obviously, from NCAA. I expect a lot of big things out of him. And my other one is the Bengals, 5-2. Picking up McFadden this year has been huge for him. I actually have him, I'll kind of touch base on that more later on, but 5.8 average yards per carry and 5 touchdowns. One of the top running backs in HK right now.
Yeah, it only took, what, 3 or 4 tries for him to get McFadden? Like 3 or 4 different trade requests, I guess? I mean, we were like, no, 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 no. Fine, whatever. Just quit asking.
But he knew that he had to get him. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he paid a price.
Yeah. And I think Drunken's paying for it.
Well, Rye, you know, we talked about Mappa. What are some of your players you've seen? I mean, there's Kylie. I'm looking at the list here, there's a laundry list of players that are just surprises all over the board, but
there are two guys that stand out to me the most. One is the edge rush guy out of Minnesota, Brian Robinson, which 18 tackles, and of the 18, 17 are for loss.
With 12 sacks, yeah.
That's beast mode.
I don't know what that's all about, but that's pretty impressive. You got to give him that. Right now, he's definitely, in my opinion, the defensive MVP of the year. There's no one really even close. And the other guy that stands out in offense is Ryan Matthews for the Chargers. He's a lead in the league in rushing, 5.5 yards a carry on a team that's right now my number two team in the league. So he's kind of come out of nowhere compared to last season where he did really nothing. So those are my two surprise players. I'm not going to list everyone. Like
what makes Matthews so good? Is it the from Rivers to the Rivers to Meacham combination really open up the run game for San Diego? I mean, I guess I'm lost right now. Like, I know how MG is, and I know how he plays, and he plays great. I'm not dogging him, but I'm lost how it went from 6-10 to, you know, his record this year, and I wonder what he's doing.
I played with him all of last release. He likes to pound the rock.
Yeah.
And I think last year was just a filling out process with a new team. And I think he's really putting things together.
He's number one in the league in rushing.
Well, he's got Robert Meacham to stretch the field.
Yeah.
So you can't key on Matthews. The one thing that another thing for me that I'll touch base on later, that I held him out of being one of the top HK running backs was he only has one touchdown on the year. And with all them yards, that's what kept him out for me. So I don't know if that's going to cause him problems later on or if that's just something that's misleading right now.
Yeah.
But that was a big thing that stood out about Matthews for me.
Yeah, I think what he's doing, he's got a lot of speed guys. He's got Eddie Royal, Meacham, and then he's got this, you know, security blanket in Gates.
Gates.
He can throw two if he needs to. So he's got a pretty balanced attack on offense, and he's leading in pretty much every offensive category right now.
You know, honestly, I'm not surprised by it, but I'm surprised by the way it's happening. If you looked at the Jets, have you guys looked at the Jets?
Yeah.
Kate's 6-1, but he's only scored 147 points.
Yeah.
I mean, that's astounding. Like, an astounding number to be only scoring 147 points, which is, I don't even know. I don't even feel like doing the math. But it's only a little bit per game, and he's given up 102, so there's not really that much difference.
It's all ball control, though. I mean, you look at his top two catcher receiving guys, it's his tight end and his halfback. They've got about 60% of his catches. And then, you know, on running the ball, he's basically got the rookie that's got almost 500 yards rushing. So he's just controlling the ball, playing good defense.
And, you know,
I like that, though, because it's kind of more like real life. You know, you play good defense. Yeah. Control the clock, and you manage your offense. And
yeah, that's what he's
doing.
We're
seeing that right now.
And yeah. You know what else I'm impressed by is you guys, both of you. I mean, finally, somebody in the admin can actually win. I can't win. Diddy can't win. Simi got word. I don't know what he's doing.
Well, you're not going to win with the Cowboys. I mean,
you're already at a disadvantage.
I mean, I cut Romo. What else can I do? You know.
And we will talk about Tanner Hearns later.
But, you know, both of you are 5-2. CA, you've given up more points than you've scored, and yet you're still at 5-2. And I'm thinking, hell, how's that happen?
I think that kind of...
It's probably skewed a little bit, but...
Yeah, it's come in the last few weeks. I mean, I'm on a three-game win streak. I think I gave up like 40-some points to the Packers, and that was... That was a game I think I didn't have my number one cornerback. I lost a couple of people in that game. I think Harvin was injured in that game.
Yeah, I think you were filling out a new owner, so it was kind of tough.
Yeah, so I mean, that was a big... And then, you know, you guys know my hate for the Packers. That was just... Everything just went down. So, but my last three games, I'm not going to give away my strategy, but I've stuck to what I wanted to do beforehand, and I've carried it out through the game. So hopefully I can do that for the rest of the year.
Well, you're not going to do it against me, you know. I've got you penciled in and circled and X'd out and everything. Right. You know, you should be 6-1. Obviously, you beat Coug. But you raged me about the catching, so.
I did. I was pissed. Although I did, in Coug's defense, I think I had like 4 fumbles caused, so he had a lot of turnovers in that game.
And that may be the only way to beat Coug this year, is to just make him turn over the ball.
You got to win the turnover battle. It's the only way you're doing it.
But really, I mean, Ryan, you should be 6-1, and you should be a game up in the North and just on your way to the Super Bowl.
I'm going to be tough. My receivers now to get Nix has really helped. Now I got Austin healthy again. I've got my rookie speedster in the slot. I think I'll be a lot better now. Richardson's really not doing a lot this year. He's only averaging, 3.5 yards a carry, I think. But he's still there. I think a lot of people are loading up to stop him. But, I think with Nix now, I've got some weapons on offense. In my last game with him, I scored over 30 for the first time. So we'll see.
Hey, man, the 3 yards and cloud of dust always works.
That's about all I can do. So, let's see.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to take our next break, and we'll come back here in a few.
The NFL has over 1,700 professional athletes, most of whom will never be offered admission to Ball So Hard University. Located on 100 yards of beautiful synthetic field turf in downtown Baltimore, with a satellite campus in Owings Mills, Maryland, Ball So Hard University has been an institute of higher education since 2011 and is taking the NFL by storm. Students will appreciate the smaller class sizes with personal attention from every instructor. Ball So Hard University has a current enrollment of 53 men.
It's a man's game now!
All students are given access to state-of-the-art classrooms, recreational facilities, and common areas. BSHU offers a curriculum that is second to none from the world-famous School of Hard Knocks. Notable courses include intimidation, dance, and we're not talking about that ballroom crap Heinz Ward does, physical education, a doctorate-level course in facial reconstruction, and of course, trash talking.
His soul may belong to God, but his ass belongs to me. So if you own it, where do you keep it?
I keep it in a nice little refrigerator in the basement.
If you think Ball So Hard University is the right educational institution for you, please send all applications to Be More Bird's Nest or Ravens 24/7 for review from the founding fathers. If approved, Sizzle will welcome you to Ball So Hard University with open arms.
All right, guys, welcome back to our show. And, now I want to talk about the impact players and the award, midseason award winners, and we'll go from there. But, who is your guys' offensive rookie of the year?
You want to go first, CA?
Sure. My offensive rookie of the year, kind of hurts me to say this, the New Orleans receiver, Devontae Wilson, he moved up to take him. I think he moved up to the number 10 spot. Or was it number 4?
Oh, I can't remember. He was 10, 4, back to 8, back to 4. I don't even know. That guy.
Well, this guy has paid off big time.
Yeah, criticism for this pick, too.
33 receptions, 510 yards, and the biggest thing for me was 7 touchdowns.
And who is the only team that he didn't score a touchdown against? Thank you. My one accomplishment for the season.
Yeah. Good job.
Well, what do you think, Ryan? Who is yours?
Well, I'm going to go with the guy that got away, Jordan Mappa. 89.4 QB rating, quarterback for the Jags. 14 TDs to 11 interceptions. He's got a pretty good completion percentage, and he's leading a Jag team to a 6-2 record, which is a huge turnaround from last season. So I don't really think it's even close right now. I don't know how you could pick a wide receiver that's averaging 15 yards a carry or 15 yards a catch on a team that's, I don't know. I mean, they're good. Obviously, the Saints are a good team, but they were expected to be there. You got a guy here in Mappa who's doing something no one expected.
Well, what was his touchdown to interception ratio again?
16-12.
Well, yeah, we'll see. When I was looking at it, it was 14-11.
So oh, my gosh. Excuses.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying there. But for me, it was hands down Devontae Wilson.
Good argument.
Well, let's talk about Defensive Rookie of the Year. Who is your Defensive Rookie of the Year? Rye?
Marvin Crunch.
Yes, I saw that he had 6 interceptions already.
29 tackles, 6 interceptions, leading the league in picks, 5 tackles for loss. I don't think it's even close. I don't think there's anyone even near him.
And he tore his ACL at the combine, so I can't even believe he's.
Yeah. I didn't think he was going to be anything. When was he drafted?
He got him second round, because I was going to sneak up and get him early third, but he got him before me. Bastard.
Yeah, so great pick there for flying, and I think it's clearly he's the Defensive Rookie of the Year right now.
CA, you can't argue with that, can you?
I can't. That's who I have. 29 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 6 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles on the TD. So
I mean, Marvin Captain Crunch, what a name. That is a freaking name right there.
Yeah.
I wanted him alone just to call him Cap, just so I could write when I write my recap, the Cap. 3 or 4 I get every year. I can write Marvin Captain Crunch.
Or you could write Crunched.
Or Crunched. I mean, this is perfect. Flying needs to, you know, hire me to write his stories. Well, let's jump over. You know, I have next on my list, I don't want to talk about Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player. You know, you guys touched on that. Robeson's obviously top-notch right now.
Gee.
I want to talk about MVP. Who is the most valuable player in HK 8 weeks into the season, and why?
I'll start off, and my dad probably would get pissed at me for saying this. It's got to be the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers.
I got it recorded. I have it recorded.
Yeah, even though the stats are always there, I never say it, but I mean 1,999 yards. 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and 72% completion percentage. And I've witnessed it firsthand. He is, you know, right now on the top, and there's nothing that I can say that he's not. So that's my MVP for HK right now.
Do you think Rodgers' stats are mostly socks and gaiters or shaver? I mean, it's hard for me to tell. Well, who was better with him, I guess. Or maybe he's just that damn good in the game. I don't know.
I don't think Sox and Gators started this year.
Yeah,
he
played a couple weeks.
Okay. I played Shaver, and I want to say he threw like 6 touchdowns on me. So Shaver, I think Shaver's a Bears fan, and I don't know how you could play with the Packers. That's my shot towards Shaver.
We didn't really give him a choice.
You don't get a choice in Hard Knocks. If you're not here when it starts, then you just get whoever.
He even said that. He's like, I got to take the Packers. This is going to be tough. So he knew, but hey, he wanted in, and he's making the best of it.
I personally wouldn't do it. I mean, I couldn't see having the quarterback that looks like Rye Tie in real life. So.
Are they that much? They look that much alike?
No.
They do.
I mean, do we have our own Aaron Rodgers and Hard Knocks?
Yeah, I don't think so.
We got to see Rye doing the double. What is it? The double discount.
Just as long as he doesn't do what BJ Raji does, I'll be fine. Rye, who is your MVP, man?
Well, once again, I don't think CA looked at the numbers that closely. Sam Bradford has played one less game than Rodgers, and he's on a better team. So I'd have to go with Bradford, 127.9 QB rating, 1,745 yards passing, 16 TDs, on a team that's, I think, a legit contender. I don't think the Packers are. I really don't. Even though they are 5-2, I think the Rams are a legit contender in the NFC. And I think Bradford right now, his last few games, and when I played him, he didn't miss a pass. He had a perfect QB rating. And I feel like I have a pretty good defense, and he just tore me apart. So I have him as my number one, my MVP right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, Bradford made me want to just go back to NCAA and not even touch Madden again. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you played him too. I mean, everything was on the
mark. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't even get to the guy. I got no pressure. I mean, I couldn't do anything. So, CA, you just got knocked out. I mean, Ryan just knocked you out with that one.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, he's got six more touchdowns than Bradford. I will agree that he's on a better team.
And he has a better QB rating too. Rodgers does right now, so you can make that argument too.
Ryan's a stat man. I mean, stats don't lie.
Well,
yeah, they
do. Yeah, they do. let's talk about Coach of the Year. My personal view is obviously I think Coog is up there. And I think Neurotic's up there. I think he's done a good job so far. And Law Dog. I mean, golly, I'm tired of kissing this guy's ass. But Law Dog's up there too. What are you guys' thoughts? I mean, right? Do you think those three are the upper echelon right now for Coach of the Year?
Either to me, it's you always have to look at a team that's had a huge turnaround from the year before. Big Coug was there last year. Even though if he goes undefeated, obviously he's going to win it. But you got to go with the two we've been talking about all night, MG and Law Dog. I mean, those are the two that have really turned their teams around from the year before. And I think right now it's neck and neck between those two. And I don't really see – maybe you could talk about Truth. It's 6-1 with the Saints, but that team's supposed to be there. I mean, that's a loaded team. So, you know, the Chargers and the Rams, I don't think a lot of people would have had them up there at the beginning of the season, so you've got to put them at the top of your list when you're talking about Coach of the Year.
You know, Law Dog doesn't sign on AIM or really talk that much, but if you keep mentioning MG, we will never, ever hear the end of
it. Yeah, now I'm thinking about that, but I'm going through the numbers, and that's what stands out to me, so I have to be honest, even though it's painful.
CA, do you agree, disagree? What do you think, man?
I disagree with the man from Ohio. I think this is a what have you done for me lately? This isn't about last year. This is about now. And we're talking about Big Coug, 6-0, allowing less than 2 touchdowns per game, 5th best passing defense, and 1st against stopping the run. I just don't see him right now. I mean, do I dare say that he's going to go 17-0?
There's no way. There's no way.
I could see it. I mean, Dunlap went 17-0. You can't say that it can't be done.
Well, then if you want to say that Dunlap went 17-0, then I have a strange suspicion that when Big Coug's not playing, Dunlap's playing because they're friends.
Well, the thing that helps it is I'm not on the schedule this year. I beat him last year. So he can go 17-0.
But if you make the playoffs, then he'll have to beat you.
He will, and that might happen because the purple choke in the playoffs. I will say that.
Well, let's jump into our all-HK team midway through the season. And, you know, obviously at quarterback, I think there's a big disagreement between Rodgers and Bradford. I mean, if you guys have one as your MVP and the other one has the other one as MVP, you're not going to agree on that. So we'll just totally skip that one because we've already had that argument.
Can we jump into the impact players?
Yeah, we'll get there.
Before that? Oh, okay. All right. Calm down, sir. I just wanted to make
sure. We'll get there. We'll get there. Don't worry.
Okay, so we're going to we're going to talk about the All-HK team then?
Yeah, let's talk about the All-HK team.
Okay, I'll lay out my team and you guys can
sounds good.
Okay,
agree or disagree. Okay. My starting quarterback, although I want to punch him in the face, would be Green Bay's Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Again, almost 2,000 yards passing, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 72 completion percentage. My halfback would be Cincinnati's Darren McFadden. 5.8 yards per carry, 5 touchdowns.
How many yards does he have total?
I think he has, I don't remember the exact stat, but I think it was like 5-something, 500. But he has less carries than Ryan Matthews, if that's what you're trying to touch on.
Yeah, I think the only thing that hurts Matthews, is like you said, is his touchdowns.
That's what it was for me. I mean, the average, I think his average is higher than Matthews, and the 5 touchdowns to 1. So that would be my running back. Fullback was obviously Cincinnati, Chris Presley, because of McFadden's stats. And I kind of base my team on how these teams were doing. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati's 5-2 right now. My receivers, Justin Blackmon from the Jags, 39 receptions, 711 yards, excuse me, and 6 touchdowns. My other receiver was A.J. Green from Cincinnati, 34 receptions, 806 yards, and 6 touchdowns. And then my tight end, I hate to say this. I hope we don't see a bunch of pictures. New England dropped Gronkowski.
Oh, man.
38 receptions, 520 yards. And
you had to say the name. You had.
I know. Nobody though, tight end-wise, is touching him. Except Reb.
I mean, so. I'm almost tempted to go in and change his name to New England Tight End instead right? of Rob Gronkowski. That way we can't be gronked. We can't get gronked. We can't.
I want to just tell him straight up right now, if you hear this, quit posting pictures.
I will say this, though, at tight end, Kobe Fleener is a legit tight end. I think Gronk's more of a wide receiver. I think Fleener is an actual tight end. And, you know, he's close to him in catches. He doesn't have nearly the yards, obviously. But if you played Chaotic UT, Fleener is very tough to stop. He does a good job of getting in the ball, and he's a first down. For me, when he played him, he got a ton of first downs by using Fleener. So I think he's not Gronk, but he's close.
Okay.
you want to talk about who are your big uglies up front?
And I have a line, actually, and I based it off of Pancakes to sacks allowed. I think the highest guy had 3 sacks, which was Michael Orr. But my left tackle is actually from New Orleans, Jermon Bushrod. I don't have the stats up in front of me right now, but I think these 4 guys only allowed 1 sack. Left guard was New England's Logan Mankins. Center, Carolina, Ryan Khalil. Right guard, St. Louis, Harvey Dahl. And then the right tackle from Baltimore, Michael Orr. He did give up 3 sacks, but there's no other right tackle that's close to him right now that's compared to those numbers.
So before you jump into defense, Rye, what do you think of CA's all-HK team?
The only... We disagreed on the
obviously, yeah, quarterback. The quarterback. I mean,
but I have to go with Ryan Matthews at halfback. Even though he has 1 touchdown, I understand. But 224 yards after his first hit, he doesn't have a very good offensive line to run behind. And if you look at McFadden, he's got 160 yards after the first hit, so that's a big difference. I mean, I think Matthews clearly is the top running back in this league right now. I don't think it's a question statistically,
but pretty much everything else you pretty much agree with. I mean, I know you talked about tight end, yeah. But
well, you got to go with Gronk, and then the only other wide receiver I like, Andre Johnson, is my second besides Blackmon. Just playing Pitt, he's the one shining star in Pitt's team, and his numbers are pretty good. If you look at him, 43 catches, lots of yards, very good average, best average amongst the wide receivers that have over 40 catches. So. He's a good player.
I saw Andre Johnson, but I couldn't put him in there just because when I thought about all HK team, I thought about who are the top teams and why.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, 800 yards, yeah, but I mean, they're 1-7. Right. When you look at the receivers that I have, both of their teams only have 2 losses, and that's the reason why Justin Blackmon and AJ Green. So, that's why I put them there.
You could also make an argument for Robert Meacham, too, with the
26, of course.
26.6 yards per catch. That's pretty good.
Well, see, let's hear your defense. I'm interested to hear this.
Well, I know you know who my left end is.
Yeah, don't even say it. I mean, it's already a given.
Hey, you can't hate
it's a homer pick.
Hey, where is he from, though? What school
is he from? Hey, Hook'em. He's from Texas.
Hook'em Horns. Minnesota's Brian Robeson. 12 sacks, 17 tackles for a loss, and one forced fumble. I mean, the dude stepped up huge. We traded away Jared Allen, and we said, this is your team. You take
now,
it.
I have a question.
He's done everything that we've asked.
I have a question for you. Yes. I was going to ask you, in the game, does he have the long hair in the game?
He has the long hair, don't care. That's what it is.
Because I saw him play last week, and I was like,
Can I ask you something?
I got to cut your hair.
And can you... If you're trying to tackle someone, can you grab their hair,
yeah,
right?
Anything out of the helmet's legal.
I saw something about – oh, no. I was listening to the radio, and they were talking to Sidney Rice, and they were asking him if he ever had a hair pulled during the game. And I thought that was the funniest thing I've ever heard, if you can actually tackle someone and just yank on their hair to pull them down. I mean,
one time I was watching a Cowboy game, and Marion Barber got tackled by the hair, and they pulled his dreadlock out. Now, you know that hurt. You know that hurt. Mm-hmm. But they pulled it out and threw it on the ground.
That's funny. I mean...
Anyway, back on subject here. CA, so we know you're left end. Give me some of your other players on defense.
Okay, my right end would be Carolina's Charles Johnson. Not as many sacks. 8. 14 tackles for loss, though. And 1 forced fumble. My defensive tackles... Tennessee's Jarrell Casey, 23 tackles, 8 tackles for losses, and 5 sacks. My other DT is Detroit's Nick Fairley, 22 tackles, 6 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks. So that rounds out my defensive line. There really was no other defensive tackles that had stats near that. Outside linebackers, I... didn't write down the stats, but I ended up with New York Giants' Michael Boley and Seattle's Akeem Jordan. And my actual surprise player on defense of the year is Kansas City's Derek Johnson.
Interesting. 50, you really have a thing for sporty tonight.
58 tackles. 7 tackles for losses, 2 sacks, 2 interceptions, and 1 touchdown for the sporty man. Man.
Sporty. Wait. You didn't put – you're gonna bring up Clay Matthews, I assume, right?
Hell no.
He missed the guy that is tied with Roberson in sacks.
And he has 12 more tackles. Yeah, you've got to put Clay Matthews on your team.
He's a bomb.
That's an epic fail, man. That is an epic fail.
No, and I based mine, to be fair, off of a 4-3.
And you didn't put Crunch in? I mean, the guy has – Marvin Crunch. He has 6 interceptions.
6 picks.
How many tackles does he have?
It doesn't matter. He has 6 picks.
Dude, Derek Johnson has 58 tackles.
I don't care about tackles. I care about interceptions.
He's in the league in tackles.
As a middle linebacker, you should be able to lead the league in interceptions and be on the All-ACK team.
Yeah, I think Derek Johnson's good, but you got to have Clay Matthews on the team. You have a chance to go back and change that because you've got to have him on there.
I won't.
You really have a hatred for Green Bay, don't you?
You don't even know.
I mean,
you don't even know.
You probably have, like, this dartboard with Aaron Rodgers' face on it, and I can just see you throwing darts at it.
Nah, I'm not weird like that, but... Let's move on to my secondary.
All right.
I do have a guy that has 6 interceptions, and he's a rookie. Oh, actually, Crunches, too. Washington's Alante Wallace. Do you have him on your board?
Yes, I do, and he was actually one of my surprise players.
And I bet you how many picks did he get off of you?
0.
Okay. Never mind. My other cornerback is Detroit's Mike Jenkins. 5 interceptions, 128 yards after the interception, and 2 touchdowns. Free safety, New York Jets, Glover Quinn Jr., 35 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 2 interceptions. And strong safety, I have Carolina's Charles Godfrey, 27 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and 4 interceptions.
All right.
I have one exception. You got to have Joe Hayden on your list. 8 pass deflections, 5 picks, 16 tackles, 1 for a touchdown. He's the best corner in the game.
Nah, it's not one exception. There's 2 exceptions besides his Clay Matthew mess up.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think – I think he got the right team, but the wrong free safety. I think LaRon Landry should be up there.
I was going to put him on there, but I don't remember why.
I mean, he has 4 picks, 31 tackles, and I believe he has a touchdown.
Okay, you're right.
He doesn't have a touchdown, but 4
– I do make mistakes.
Man, CA. No, I mean, that's very, very well thought out. I think you're really, really close on who the HK team is right now. There's a couple players, but, I mean, everything like that's debatable. So,
And I actually have the special teams laid out.
Oh, okay, yeah, I forgot. Give me your kicker, punter, kick returner, and punt returner.
I got Jason Kinslow from San Diego, 15 of 16.
The rookie.
And the Rook. I thought I had it written down somewhere. He has a field goal. His longest field goal was a 55-yarder, and he's actually 6 of 7 from 50 yards out.
Yeah, I mean, that was a good pick. I think that was a 3rd-round pick. That was
– yeah, it was a good
pick. We were all laughing and making fun of MG, but he had a little secret with the field goal kicker.
Oh, I haven't had the most opportunities. Blair Walsh is actually 13 of 13. He hasn't missed one yet, so. But I didn't want to be too homerous, so I picked Jason Kinslow.
Well, maybe I need to change the sliders then.
All right. Now, the punter is from Seattle, John Ryan. He's had 7 punts inside 20, which leads HK. And he has the second highest net average of 36.6. My kick returner is from Tennessee, Mark Mariani, 20 returns for 642 yards, 32.1 per return, and 2 touchdowns.
That's not too shabby for a white guy.
Hey, don't be racist.
I'm not. I'm just saying.
Punt returner, Baltimore's Daniel Kescoli.
Whoa. Rye, I know you've looked at this. And you have a different player in mind for punt returner, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. I can guess. I bet it's T.Y. Hilton.
Absolutely.
I was going to put him up there, but I based it off of yards per punt
return. I base it off touchdowns.
Yeah, he's 33% of his returns are returned for touchdowns, so that's pretty good. You got to go with him, even though he's only had 6. He should get more than that, by the way. I'm not sure why he only has 6, but that's pretty impressive to have 2 returns out of the 6 you've had. The 6 returns you've had, 2 returns were touchdowns.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I noticed that when I was going through. I was like, golly, he only has 6 returns, but he has 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
All right, CA, so let's jump to your impact players.
Well, I've kind of already touched on some of them. Quarterback Aaron Rodgers. I already laid out his stats. Rye can touch base more if he wants. Darren McFadden, running back, 783 yards rushing, 5 touchdowns, 5.8 yards per carry, 5-2 record. Jacksonville's Justin Blackmon. New Orleans' Jermon Bushrod. Bushrod, 6 pancakes, only 1 sack allowed, 6-1 record through 7 games. Obviously, the beast, Brian Robinson, 12 sacks, tied with Clay Matthews. Come up huge after trading Jared Allen. Denver's Marvin Crunch, 6 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles, helping the team to a 5-1 record. And then San Diego's Jason Kinslow, 15 of 16, 55 yard, which is the longest one, and 6 of 7 from 50 yards plus.
Yeah, I mean, the kicker, it blows my mind how much a kicker can make a difference, but it obviously is, I guess. Ryan, who are your impact players?
Well, I've said a lot of them. You know, we've gone through it a few times, but
we know it's not Aaron Rodgers.
No, honestly, Aaron Rodgers, it's pretty amazing, but I liked hearing CA defend him, which I never thought I'd hear.
And like I said earlier, I have it recorded, so anytime he starts hating on Green Bay, I'm just going to play this little clip of him saying Aaron Rodgers is an impact player.
And I almost got him to say Clay Matthews, but he didn't go to that extent. But no, it's the same guys. I have Bradford, Matthews, Blackman, Andre Johnson, Gronk, Robeson, unfortunately. Joe Hayden, I think, is leading my team. And then Crunch, another guy that's coming out of nowhere, is a rookie, Bill Carr, 33 tackles.
Chicago Bears middle linebacker.
Yeah, most people are talking about. Brandon Collins, he's a wide receiver for the Panthers. He's averaging 35.7 yards per catch, 16 catches, 571 yards, 5 TDs, second-round draft pick that's coming out of nowhere to be one of the best wide receivers out there. Arian Boudreau, I think, is for the Jets, the running back, very good player, taking over for Sean Green. So there's a lot of different guys out there, but those are some of the ones that stood out to me.
All right, guys. Well, I mean, it was a very interesting take on our HK team and our impact players and, you know, our award nominees. It's a very good discussion at quarterback. I look forward to seeing how the rest of the season goes, and maybe we can revisit this conversation towards the end of the season. Definitely. But with that, we'll go into the next topic right after this break. So you think you have crazy fans?
Please get the kids out the room, because I'm going to let a couple fly on this. I'm just letting you know right off. I usually don't curse on my videos, but I'm going to let a couple fly. You see that? The Dallas Cowboys took a big shit on that today. And there's teams out there that are downright thuggish. We're not. We're finesse. That was pathetic, Dez Bryant. And nobody in Dallas got the balls to tell you that. But if you don't get your shit straight, you'll find your ass in Cleveland. At best.
No, we have crazy fans. The one, the only, Hard Knocks. All right, guys, welcome back. This will be one of our final segments, and it's going to be about our gaming addictions and how it affects our families. And actually, I'll start this one off. I've only been playing, you know, in leagues for 3 years. I think my first league was in BFR my first league on TSO was BFR. And over time, you realize that, yeah, it you do have to sacrifice some things, like, especially if you have a family, and you guys know this. If you have a family, you have to sacrifice sleep to play these games. You have to, if you want to do anything content, like the podcast, or play your games, you really have to play them after, pretty much, I try to play everything after 9 or 10. And, you know, I think some guys that are in relationships, like, there's some guys that have left that have been decent members or good members that have left, like BK. You know, he got married and had some personal things and had to leave. And then just overall, I wanted to talk about what you guys think and how you feel about your families, how it affects gaming, and maybe even your gaming addiction or anything that comes to mind as far as that realm of the world, how the gaming fits into your real world. CA, you know, you have two kids, you just got married, but you've been with your wife for years. How have you managed it? How have you done everything?
Well, I think there's two kinds of relationships. There's one that you know what you're going into, and the other one where they try and mold you. I'm the type of person where my wife knew right off the bat that's the type of person I was. With my free time, I played video games and I drank beer. and I've stayed consistent with it through this whole time. I mean, when we first started going out, we went on a trip together, and we went with her family up north, and I brought my TV and my PS. It was a PS3. And so we had a small cabin. We had like them lined up, maybe like four of them, and me and her shared a room. And we had only been dating for like a couple weeks, maybe a couple months. But I mean, I've known my wife. I was best friends with her brother. And so I had known their family. So I'm sitting in the cabin or whatever, and them guys are out on the porch, just bullshitting and I'm sitting in there playing MLB on the TV that I brought up. So that's just the type of person I am, and I've always been like that. It gives me an escape from reality. I've been through a lot in my own life, so I love video games, and I always will. My kids are addicted to them. And you kind of need that, you know, in a relationship to be able to have your own time. So that's where I am. As far as like sacrificing and stuff and all that.
Well, we know you don't sacrifice sleep. Heaven forbid, it gets 9 o'clock and you have a scheduled game or even do a podcast. Well, you're like pulling my teeth that started at 6:30.
Nah, it varies. I mean, like,
you're turning into old man, CA.
Yeah.
Your bladder's the size of a peanut, and you have to go to bed at 9 o'clock.
Well, I mean, I got to wake up at 6 tomorrow morning. I mean, it'd be different. Like, I tried to get you to do it tomorrow night where I could let loose and drink more than 5 beers. But you have responsibilities.
You gotta drink those 27 beers like Black. You gotta keep up with him.
Yeah. Well, that was in my younger days.
That's a joke, Black. Don't take it personal.
You know, us Mexicans, we drink way too much. So.
Wow.
But yeah, so I'm curious to see what Rye has to say. I mean.
Yeah. I'm eager too. This guy flies to Japan, so I want to know how he does it all sometimes.
With anime and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing but the best. I think CA said it pretty well. I think you've got to pick the right person. If that person, your wife or your girlfriend now, does not accept the fact that you play games and doesn't accept the fact that you enjoy this, I don't think you should be married to them. I think they've got to accept your weaknesses, or I don't think you should even get married. They've got to accept your weakness, and if they consider this a weakness and they can't accept it, then in my opinion, it's not the right fit. I think my wife, I've been playing games since college. We've been married 13 years, lots of different leagues, but she's got to accept that. She's known it, and she knows who I am. That's part of who I am, and it works well for us. I don't play when my kids are awake, typically. I try not to because I want to spend more time with them, obviously. But when they go to bed, I'll hang out with my wife. But sometimes I'll say, hey, I got to play a game. And she's like, oh, okay, cool. And she'll go upstairs, watch TV. And then when I'm done with the game, I'll go hang out with her. So it works out for us. She knows that I love this, and she wouldn't want to get in my way. So I think it's just if the person doesn't accept it, it's not the right fit, because if it's not this, it'd be me doing something else. And this is honestly, in my opinion, there's a lot worse that I could be doing than playing video games. And she knows
exactly.
Yeah, and I was going to touch on that. I mean, it's funny because when I first met my wife, she was going to school. She would work during the day and go to school at night. So from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m., because she lived with me. So from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m., guess what I was doing? I was playing video games. I just had no league to be in. Yeah. Well, now she works and, she comes home or whatever, but I still have to feed that addiction to play the video game. And
and
you know, like CA said, it is an escape from reality. I don't have to worry about money. I don't have to, well, real money. I don't have to worry about drama, even though sometimes we do, but I don't have to worry about real drama. I don't have to worry about what I got to do tomorrow. I get to worry about and focus on playing a game and relaxing and just having a good time. And I, you know, like you said, there's tons of other things you could be doing at 10:09 at night than, you know, a podcast for a video game.
Exactly. And it's competition too. I think I bet 90% of our league is probably in some kind of athletics in high school or college or something like that. And it's a way for people to, most guys are competitive, and it's a way to just express that, you know, that competitiveness. And it's good. And I don't know. I think video games sometimes get a bad rap. It's also, I mean, look at all the friends we've made on this. And you know, it's a good thing.
Yeah. You know, and I told Black when he quit earlier in the season, I said, Black, you gotta, you know, he was telling me everybody takes it too serious, and, you know, I'm sure he doesn't want me telling everybody that, but that's what, you know, he's talking about me, really, taking it too serious and things like that. And I was like, you gotta remember, man, like, my knees are shot, you know, I can't play sports, I can't do it physically. So this is my way to stay engaged, like, mentally. I know that sounds crazy to some people, but...
No, that's true.
I mean, it keeps me engaged and focused in the game besides just watching it on Sunday and then forgetting about it during the week. And yeah. Let's be honest, none of us are going to get some GM position, but this exactly. is for a way for us to play strategy and put ourselves in that shoes and make those tough decisions that we envy. Because let's be honest, I envy Jerry Jones for making these decisions, and I want to punch him in the face sometimes. And this is my way to do it, you know?
Yeah. Well, look at the popularity of fantasy football. This is
exactly the same thing.
It's fantasy football with more control. Mm-hmm. And that's why I like it. That's why I'll keep doing it.
Yeah, I think... go ahead, CA.
I was just going to touch on kind of what you guys were talking about, how... You know, you develop relationships and friendships. I mean, what other league do you have where your friend comes to your wedding? Mm-hmm. Like, even my parents, they've always looked at me like, what are you doing? You know, you're playing video games or whatever. Yeah, you know, whatever, whatever. And it was like, no, I mean, this is, you know, and I would kind of tell them, you know, oh, you know, I know this guy, whatever, this guy. I mean, we really... Every day, I mean, aim and playing, and it's just it becomes part of your life, really. And I don't see nothing wrong with it. I mean, the way that things are going now, everything's on the internet.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And I've had friends, you know, in my life, but a lot of my real friends that I consider are you know, a part of the HK and the admin and.
I'd be like, when I went to CA's wedding, for anyone that didn't know, but when I got there, I felt like I had known the guy for years, and I basically had never met him. I talked to him on the phone a few times, a few podcasts, but I felt like I knew everything about the guy. So it's you build friendships too, which you with people that are totally different than you, different cultures, different parts of the country. It's a great thing. That's one of the reasons why I like this site so much.
And see, like, I view, especially our league, and especially a lot of guys in the league, I view as brothers. Like I would do anything for you, or for CA, or for Simi, or for Marcus, or for Diddy. I would do anything for you guys, or Cade, you know, anything. And it's just weird how it all worked. Together, it's all come together. And then, you know, you like you said, you talk to people with different cultures, different backgrounds, different things that have happened, some same things that have happened, some things you can relate. You know, it doesn't matter skin color, doesn't matter religion, politics, even though you like Barack Obama, it doesn't matter.
Yes, yeah, you got.
But, you know, and it was the same way when I met Marcus, when I went up there to Colorado to hang out with him for a weekend. I felt like, damn, I know this guy, and I felt like I've known him for years. And it's just, it's a pretty cool thing, and, you know, we have a pretty cool thing going.
Yeah, I won't lie. I mean, when I invited, you know, you guys to come to the wedding, and Rye said he was coming, I was like, damn, this is going to be awkward, like... I don't know him. I mean, we talk all the time, but like you said, I mean, when we met, I was like, damn, you know, it wasn't awkward at all. I know this dude, him, you know, so it was really cool. And it kind of, we'll talk later about the HK get together later, but it's a really good thing, man. I mean, we got one of the best, probably the best league out there right now. And that's what makes this league so good.
Yeah, my wife, when she went, she was like, you know, she was kind of like, where the hell are we going? What are we doing? And then after we left, she was like, I get it. You know, she got it. She understood. The whole thing was just, you know, she understood the whole thing after we were done. So it was pretty interesting to see her reaction to this online website with video gaming that a lot of times she's like, what is that? Who are these people?
Why are you on AIM all the time? Why are you over there? This is what I get. I get.
You too old for this?
You get that?
No.
I get the, why are you over there smiling or laughing? I'm like, no reason. It'll be something stupid somebody said, and I'm just like, this, like, there was times where we had another member that I would just shake my head and laugh, and my wife would be like, why are you laughing at the computer? Yeah. I was like, no. But just keep in mind, they have Pinterest, so we have to have some outlet.
Well, my wife was laughing at a message she got the other day. I'm like, who sent you a message? She's like, Simmy. I'm like, how often do you talk to him? Like,
you just gave him fuel, by the way, saying that. Now he's going to call you a jealous old man.
Nah, yeah. I've seen Simmy. I'm not jealous.
Oh.
Just kidding, man. I really haven't seen you.
Anyway. Well, with that, guys, any final thoughts? Anything you want to touch on? Rye, CA, anything you guys want to say to anybody out there?
Like I was saying earlier about the get together, I know I kind of got to get more serious about it, but I really want us to do this. I think it would be a really great thing, and I don't think any league probably has ever done that. So, like I put on the forum earlier, we're going to do this in Florida, hopefully in the summer, either June, July, or August. And I can't really touch on the specifics, but we have some really cool things lined up. We were talking about maybe doing a flag football game. We can't do tackle because some of you guys could get hurt. But, you know, obviously, bar, strip club, beers, drinks, whatever will be involved too. Stay tuned for that.
Rye?
No, I got nothing. I'm all talked out. This is a lot of talking for me, for those of you that know me.
Yes, this is like his third podcast ever. Even if you were on the draft Skype call, Rye didn't say a word. And nope. I knew he was there laughing at some of the stuff that was going on. I knew he was there laughing. But he didn't say a word.
He's talking when he gets a beer in him.
Just one. It was interesting listening to Black and listening to Law Dog break down the draft. I mean, he had it to a science. And it was S&G there, too. He was talking stuff. And then, you know.
And third alarm and Black, and then you got Black.
Oh, yeah. Third alarm is knowledgeable, too. I like listening to him, too. Talk about the history of all the Madden leagues he's been in. And it was interesting.
And then we got a score update every 2 seconds on the Giants.
Yeah.
I got one thing I'm going to propose. I'll even put up a prize. When we do this get together, we want to have a contest between MG and Black. See who can drink the most, and because they've both been boasting about it. So
you got to go with Black. He's got 43 years. You know, he's got a lot more age. I'm sure a lot more tolerance. It wouldn't be close.
He's a vet. Yeah.
Man, it is interesting if you go through the ages to see the age difference in the years. Like, I don't even know who the oldest is. I know it's either Black or I think it's Black.
It might be Rye.
Not
old. No, no.
I think we have like a 19-year-old too, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah. You? Cole. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So 19 to 43 is our range, basically. That's pretty neat.
That's better than Barack Obama's demographic.
Yeah, he's up to 60, though. It was 60 and over with 70% of the population voted for Romney. So. Obama won every other demographic. Good luck with that in the future.
And with that, Rye just killed the chat. So,
hey, were you really going to vote for a guy named Willard?
Yeah.
Oh, you did, so... You killed the chat.
Who?
You.
Oh, please. I only voted Republican because it's conservative state.
You're from Texas. You have to vote
if
Republican.
If you don't vote Republican, they cut your balls off here. So.
Well, how would that happen? Your ear's already off.
You must have been talking to Simi. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Anyway, all right, guys. Well, with that disgusting little note, we'll wrap up the show. I want to say thanks to CA, and I want to say thanks to Rye, and you know, hopefully we can do this again very soon. It was a lot of fun, and the next one we'll touch on some draft and stuff. Hopefully these guys get some better notes for draft. No, I'm kidding. All right, so I'm your host, Bob, or King Bob, as they call me. But with that, y'all have a good night, and we'll catch you later. You have been knocked up.
Keep it classy, TSL.